This week's shiurim have been sponsored by family A. Wittenberg, Le'ilu Nishmas, Habocha Ari Alexander Ullman. Chof Tes Elul, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday, 4th of September, Rabbi Eli Pick, The Power of Tikkia Shofar.
The Midrash Rabbah, Parshas Emor, says Yehuda ben Rav Nachman Posach, Olo Elokim Bisruo Hashem B'Kol Shofar. All know the Posach. Parts of the Pasuk talks about Elohim Minas Hadin, and parts of the Pasuk talks about Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei Minas Rachman. B'shar Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Ole Al Kisei Din. So when Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu sits down on his seat of justice on Minas Hadin, B'din Hu Ole, so he's involved with the Din. B'shar Shisrael Notli Nes Shofreihen. But the moment that the Jewish people take the shofar and blow it, betoken lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, omid mikisei adin, liyoshev mikisei rachamim. Hashem gets up from his kisei din, figuratively speaking, of course, and he moves over to his kisei rachamim. Umarachem aleihem, v'hofeich aleihem midas adin l'rachamim. Hashem then has mercy on us, and he changes his whole psak on us from din to rachamim. Just when he hears Tikkias Shofar. That is the strong power of the blowing of the shofar. Which is amazing. Can you imagine if you're awaiting a trial at the Old Bailey for some crime, or suspected crime, and you start blowing a trumpet? Do you think the judge is going to have much mercy on you? The security won't be too pleased. And besides, if you'd say to the judge, look, I've done teshuva, it doesn't matter what I've done. You think you'll get away with it so easily? But Hashem showed us his rachamim. He hears the shofar, he shows rachamim. He hears our teshuva, he shows rachamim. But what is it about the shofar itself which makes Hashem change that way? Why is it that the blow of the sound of a ram's horn makes Hashem change his mind and to become more merciful? You can't think of a more easy mitzvah to keep, to blow the shofar, provided you've got a bit of oxygen in your lungs, of course, but you could take an easier option and listen to somebody else blowing it. And you're still doing your mitzvah. What is it in the power of the shofar which makes Hashem turn from midas hadin to midas rachamim? All right, we know that the Rambam says it's a wake-up call, although the Torah calls it ki chok l'Israel hu, it's a chok without a proper given reason. And we all know the 10 reasons of the Sadya Gaon about what we allude to when the shofar is being blown. And there's Hashem being the Melech, the creation, there's the Akedah, there's Matan Torah, and there are others. So what is the significance of some of these? Amongst the events which the shofar commemorates is Matan Torah, Ma'amad Har Sinai. And there what happened? We said, Naseh V'Nishma. We submerged ourselves, we surrendered ourselves to Hashem, to whatever He would say to us. We had an unconditional acceptance of Hashem's authority, of His sovereignty. And by doing so, that puts us in a correct relationship with Hashem Yisroel. Another idea is that we recall when we blow the shofar, Akedas Yitzchok. Hashem links it to the event which happened when Avram brought Yitzchok onto the Mizbeach. Now, the Shem Yisroel says that when you do a hidden deed, something which is not conspicuous, it doesn't have such an effect on your future descendants. But something which was so public, like the Akedah, it helps us all. It's not just something which is a zechus to Avraham and Yitzchok. It's a zechus to each and every single one of us, as it says there in the Pasuk in the Akedah, the Yirash Zaracho. We inherit something from the Akedah. We get a benefit out of it. So, as if we were in the situation where we are in the Akedah ourselves, both express a subordination to Hashem. So now that we know that the shofar is so powerful, we've got a very strong question to ask. If the shofar changes Hashem's midas hadin to midas rachamim, why is it that in certain years, when the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar? We refrain from it completely. Takanas Chazal, Gzera Shel Rabba, Shema Yelech Eitzel Boki Lilno, Tviyavirenu Daradamas, Bishus HaRabim. That somebody might find it in the street and will want to learn how to blow and take it to a teacher. So Chazal banned it on Shabbos. Okay, so the obvious question is here. Look, You want a ban under the remote chance that somebody might carry a shofar in a public place, one individual. You know, we got the whole of Klal Yisrael here whose lives are at stake. If Hashem only operates by Midas Din, and when he started with creating the world, he started with Midas Din, and it just wasn't going to work, so he changed to Midas Rachamim as well. Here the whole of Klal Yisrael's lives are at stake. If Hashem only adopts Midas Din and does not use Midas Rachamim, we've got a big problem. And it's the shofar which changes his Midas Din to Midas Rachamim. So how could Chazal take this din, this mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, alright, v'chiyish kach lachachomim lakadovim in atarah, sheval tafseh, Chazal had the power to change something like that. But they were doing more than just taking away a mitzvah saseh min atarah. Surely they were putting us into a sakona, into danger. It's a bit like the mitzvah mezuzah. If you don't do the mitzvah mezuzah, you're mevatel a mitzvah saseh. You're not going to perform a positive commandment. But there's an additional issue here, and that is sakana. If you don't have a mezuzah on your door, you're putting yourself in danger. And in the same with shofar. If we don't blow the shofar, then Hashem is not changing from his midas din to midas rachamim. What chance have we got? Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim open. And we know that Chazal were careful to make certain rules to ensure that life is saved. From the Chai Bohem, breaking Shabbos, even with the Chola She'en Bo Sakona, that we relax certain rules, which are Dinei D'Rabbanon. So Chazal were very particular that life is sacrosanct, and we look after it. So how is it that Chazal could take away from us the mitzvah of shofar if it's going to give Midas Rachamim? And the chances of somebody carrying, I mean, it's like a Svek Sveka. Maybe somebody will find it. Maybe somebody will carry it in the street. So the same that Kuzri Sheni says, that when Chazal made this rule about the person who might carry the shofar in the public place, it wasn't that he might do it b'shogeg, by accident. They said he'll be doing it b'mezid. He'll be doing it on purpose. And therefore, if he does it on purpose, b'eidim b'asroi, he'll be chayav misa. And Chazal wanted to protect his life. Chazal wanted to save his life, just like the Chola eats on Yom Kippur to save life. So also Chazal banned the shofar in order to save the life of somebody who might carry on purpose. It's an interesting idea. How could Chazal suggest that it was done on purpose? But if we just understand for a quick moment the mentality of certain individuals who, Rachmana Litzlan, want to practice the ritual. They say, oh, this is the service in the synagogue, that Rachmana Litzlan nowadays, there are people who might even drive to the synagogue on Shabbos because they think it's so important to be in the shul without realizing that they're committing an issur d'oraisa and they're breaking Shabbos. It's that mentality which Chazal were worried about with the shofar, that the person wanting to practice the ritual will be so keen to do so that he will even break Shabbos in order to carry, in order to blow the shofar. Okay, that's the Kuzri Sheni, but you know, the Kuzri Sheni is talking about life, but he's talking about how many lives. If an individual, the remote chance of somebody perhaps carrying up the street, for that you're going to ban the shofar, here we're talking about the lives of all Klal Yisrael. So the question truly still stands, how could Chazal do away with the mitzvah of shofar? We don't have it this year, but we've had it many times in the past, and we'll have it in the future, that we're foregoing the mitzvah, I say, of shofar, and we're putting ourselves in this sakana. Now, if you say, well, Chazal told us they know best, we should have trust in them, but there is an entitlement to ask and to understand what Chazal was doing. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, kavod Elokim haster dovo, when Hashem decides something, it's hidden, haster, we don't always understand, but kavod malachim, the kings, namely Chazal, Chakor Dovo, think about it, ask about it. Let's try and understand the reason of Chazal. And this Taltak Hok Gezerah of Rabbah, it wasn't that you might come and forget to carry to Shul. That wouldn't even make you chayav. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah, in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yudalad, that if you actually forget and carry to Shul, you're not going to be chayav Mishum Rishus, and so on and so forth. Applies to the Lulav as well. So it was that some person in the street will find the shofar and will want to learn how to blow it. So this is the question. I'll try to give three possible answers. Number one, the Shem Shmuel says, when it comes to the day of Shabbos, what do we say? Asher kedushonu b'mitzvah, so the rotsavonu. There's a special divekus, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'avo v'rotzon Shabbos Kodshecho. He says there's such a great love and connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos that you don't really need the shofar to be ma'orah the rachamim. In order to change midas din to midas rachamim, shofar does, Shabbos does the job. Shabbos has even a greater power than shofar in order to show that special relationship between, no, not Britain and the US, the special relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, okay, so you're being mevatel the mitzvah saseh, and as far as the midas din to midas rachamim is, you don't need it. Shabbos does the job. You call Shabbos zichron teruah, and there's no blowing. That's an answer. Another answer, which is in the Sefer Mishmeres Kohuna, Rav Meir Yechiel HaLevi, also was known as the Ostrovtzer Rebbe. He said, really, we've got no choice. We have to blow the shofar to change the midas din to midas rachamim. Ein lo em Yisrael shum eitzra cheres neged midas adin. The midas adin is so powerful, and the shofar is so powerful, which can change that midas adin. So he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chavtes, which says, Omer Rabbi Bahu, lomo token b'shofar shal ayil. Why do we blow with the shofar of the ram? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tiku by blowing the shofar, you will remind me, as we've said before, about the Akedah. I will regard it as though you yourselves were in that same position as Yitzchok Avinu on the Mizbeach, and that will give me the Midas Din to the Midas Rachamim. So we're showing the same Siras Nefesh as Yitzchok, by suggesting in the blowing of the shofar that we ourselves are prepared to do what Yitzchok did. That, he says, is enough to change the midas din to midas rachamim. So if we don't blow the shofar, we are putting ourselves in a great sofek pikuach nefesh. But what are we doing? Are we listening to the Takonas Chazal? But he says that by listening to Takonas Chazal, by putting ourselves in danger, by not changing to midas rachamim, if we put ourselves in such danger and such risk, like Yitzchok did in the Akedah, Hashem says, you get my midas rachamim. Even if you don't blow the shofar, because you want to listen to Takonas Chazal, and you put yourself in risk, you're putting your life on the line, Hashem says, you get your midas rachamim. And indeed, the Chasam Sofer writes that, in a way, Yitzchok was stronger than Avraham, apart from giving up, or prepared to give up his life, because Avraham, he heard the din of the Akedah straight from Hashem, so that was like Toshev Iksav. But Yitzchok only heard about it from Avraham Avinu, which is like listening to one's Rav, so he says that's like Toshev Alper. So by exercising the Kach of Toshev Alper, recognizing the Kach of Chazal, we are Zoche to achieve Hashem's Midas Rachamim. If we just move away from this topic a bit and remind ourselves of today's routine, we all have to make Erev Tavshilin. Now, if you make Erev Tavshilin, great. If you don't make Erev Tavshilin, is there any fallback position? Right, Rav makes one for the Kilo and so on. But there's also a din of making a Tanai. That is to say that if on Thursday, tomorrow, you realize that you did not make Erev Tavshilin, can you make a Tanai? Now, with Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, it's a bit different to Rosh Hashanah. So Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, on the Thursday Yom Tov, you can make a Tanai and say, well, today, if today is Yom Tov, then tomorrow is Chol. If tomorrow is Chol, I can prepare for Shabbos. if today is Chol and tomorrow is Yom Tov, then I can make Erev Tavshilin today, because today is still Chol. So you can make a Tanai. Does that mean that the second day Yom Tov is a Sofek? It's not a Sofek anymore. It used to be a Sofek, but now it's a Din of Chazal. So what is the Din? By the way, Rosh Hashanah we call Yom HaRichtos, so we say you can't make such a Tanai. But the issue is this. So the Rambam says that you will be able to make this Tanai even though it's called a Din Rabbono. And this is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, although if you're desperate, you know, it's better not to. But that, says the Rambam in Halacha Yudalud, Hilchas Yom Tov, Perek Zayin, He says, that was when Beistin was Mekalish al-Pi-Ar-Ia, when you sighted the new moon. But now you're not sighting the new moon. There's no Sophic at all. So he doesn't even want to have it tonight. So the Ran says in Gemara Beitza, that since Shomru Oso Minhaga, the whole din of Yom Tov Sheni, stems from a Sophic, we apply the din of Sophic, even though it is a din d'Rabbanan. What does that mean? That we know that there's a din d'Rabbanan, but we treat it like a Sophic. For example, there is another din in Shulchan Aruch Tov Tzadi Zayin of Sophic Mucha. You're not sure if an egg was laid on Yom Tov, and it was Yom Tov Sheni, so there's a double Sophic. Sophic Shehu Nolad, Sophic Shehu Yom Tov. It's a Sophic with Yom Tov, but the second day is definitely Yom Tov. But we still treat it as though it's a Yom Tov. Again, with Rosh Hashanah we say Yom HaRiftos, so we're more machmir. But the idea which comes out of this is that the second day Yom Tov comes from a Sophic. The second day Yom Tov is a Din D'Rabbanan, but it's based on the fact that it comes from a Sophic. On Rosh Hashanah, they couldn't send out the Shaluchim, they couldn't send out the messengers. And since they couldn't come out, even in Eretz Yisrael, it was common for 2 days to be kept. Aye, if it's got a din of Sophic, maybe you should lay Tefillin. Tefillin is a mitzvah Sadeh D'Oraisa. Now that's a question dealt with by the Rashba and Sofer. It would be a Zilzal on Yom Tov, it's a Baal Tosif, and we wouldn't do it. And Chazal Osu Chizuk L'Divrem Ki'ilu Heim D'Oraisa, that they strengthened their rules as though that they are D'Oraisa. So like we said with Shofar, also with Tefillin. And the Kesaf Sofer writes, we have to give such koyach to the minhagim of Yisrael, ki Torah heimam yusodim al adnei ha-Torah, that what Chazal did was based on the stones of Torah itself, chukam miyomimu liyomim yomimu. Torah Hashem tzmima, and you may not turn away from the words of Chazal. And for every reason that Chazal gave you, there were other reasons which they didn't give you. Chassam Sofer was once asked, assuming that Yom Tov Sheni is a Sophic, do I get a schar for taking off work for 2 days, or do I get a schar for taking off work for 1 day? So he says, of course you get a schar for taking off 2 days. Well, 1 day is D'Oraisa, one is a Din D'Rabbanan, but you're doing 2 days Yom Tov. And the Sfas Emes writes that the beauty of Yom Tov Sheni is that it rises us up to a spiritual level for Kedusha, which you would have originally had in 1 day, but because of our Yeridas HaDoris, you don't get it in that 1 day. And so you got it in Eretz Yisrael as well for Rosh Hashanah. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in his very first perek, says that Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, it increases our Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu by having these extra days of the year when we have a more spiritual height. So what is this status of the second day Rosh Hashanah? All right, we call it Yom HaRichter, but it derives from a Sophic. So do we call it a Yom Tov? Definitely we do. Do we call it Yom HaDin? Yes. Why? Because the whole idea of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is because it's been called Yom HaDin. So does that mean the second day is also Yom HaDin? What do we say on the second day Rosh Hashanah, just like the first day? Hayom Yamid Bamishpat. We are standing today before justice. So that means that we are being judged on the second day as well as the first day. Yes, Rav Dessler says in Michtam Elio, Chelek Beis, he says that is indeed the case. And he brings the Zohar in Parshas Pinchos. Why do we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? The first day is called by the Zohar Dino Kashyo, which is Minas Hadin. And the second day is Dino Rafyo, the Minas Rachamim. He says if you don't succeed in having your judgment on the first day, then you're judged on the second day. And on the second day, you get your Minas Rachamim. What a good deal. And look at the laning which we do on Rosh Hashanah. The laning says, the Merav HaShemesh, and also the Meshech Chochmah, it's reflected in the Kriyas HaTorah, because on the first day Rosh Hashanah, we read about Leidas Yitzchok, the birth of Yitzchok, and Yitzchok represents Din, so that day is the Midas HaDin. And on the second day, we read about the Akedah, and where Avram takes the leading role, and Avram represents Rachamim. So that we've got it reflected in what we're laning over the next 2 days. So can it really be that when Chazal made the second day Yom Tov a din, they're actually directing Hashem? They're actually telling Hashem to judge us on the second day by virtue of the Minas Rachamim which then emanates? Can Chazal really do that? The answer is yes. It says that Malachim ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when is Rosh Hashanah? And Hashem says, don't ask me. Ask the Beis Din Shalmata. They decide when Rosh Hashanah is. I mean, can you imagine a criminal deciding when his own day of judgment will be in court? But that is the situation where we are given the opportunity to decide when our Midas HaDin is. We fix our trial date. So Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, who was a Mashgiach of Hebron, writes, he says, if we do a teshuvah on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, and then you come into the second day, you get a good judgment because you've done your teshuvah, even though you haven't yet done it before the first day, Rosh Hashanah. So you don't need to wait until Yom Kippur as a Beinoni for your judgment. You get a good judgment on the second day. So that means that one can even change Hashem's verdict from the first day on the second day. And this is indeed brought down to Halacha. Because if you look at the Matei Ephraim writes, Tov Kuf Pei Beis, Sif Kalches, V'yesh B'nei Adom, Shinidoni B'Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Aleph. There are some people who are judged on Rosh Hashanah on the first day. Shehu Din Kosher, that's a hard day to survive because of the Midas Adin. V'yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Merachim Aleihem V'Nedunim B'Yom Sheni. But there are others who Hashem judges on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem using his Minas Rachamim exercise on the second day of Rosh Hashanah that we should be able to come out clean before we even have to wait for Yom Kippur to arrive. And there's a more, even more amazing chiddush which comes out from Rav Dessler. And the Mardim Uzmanim also writes this. He says, the original idea of Rosh Hashanah becoming 2 days was because the Edim who witnessed the new moon were delayed. They couldn't make it in time. Or they didn't even come at all. Hashem deliberately put things in motion that they would be delayed in order that there should be a second day Rosh Hashanah if Hashem felt that we needed it. So that Hashem felt that if we were on a low ebb and we needed extra Midas Rachamim, Hashem deliberately manipulated it that the Eidim would be delayed in coming to the Beis Din in order that there would be a second day Rosh Hashanah, in order that He could judge us more than Midas Rachamim. It's an amazing chiddush. And that wasn't always the case at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But now, every single year, we benefit from this second day Rosh Hashanah and we get the Midas Rachamim. And the B'nai Yisoschar writes, Tishri Maimah Beis, he says, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we were able to do a tikkun to ourselves in just one day. But now we've got less strength, we're on a lower spiritual level, so we need those 2 days, and that second day gives us that extra chance. And since Eretz Yisrael also keep 2 days, they also have that Midas Rachamim nowadays, even though we're in Golus. So we started off asking, how is it that Chazal could make this din of banning the shofar on Shabbos if the shofar has such an amazing power over HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the Midas HaDin to the Midas Rachamim? So from this latest idea, with Rosh Hashanah on the second day, we've got the simple answer. We're blowing the shofar on the second day. And the second day is a Yom HaDin, HaYom Yamid Bamishpot. So that even though Chazal took away from us the mitzvah of shofar on the first day, we've still got it every single year on the second day. I would say to Dindra Abonah, it doesn't matter. Osu Chizik Nidirek, Hidarayisa. And Hashem follows what the Beis Din down here is saying. So Hashem says, okay, I make the first day Yom HaDin, Yom Zichro Torah, and the second day I judge you with Minas Rachamim, and you blow the shofar, which changes my position of my seat from the Minas HaDin to the Minas Rachamim. So we've really had three answers. Number one, we said that Shabbos is Ma'orah Rachamim, that by keeping Shabbos, that does the trick. The second idea we said from the Ostrovtsa Rebbe was that because we're deferring to Chazal and we're listening to their edict to not to blow the shofar, we are putting our lives on the line in order to listen to Divrei Chazal as though we are in the Arkada, and therefore we are Zocha to the Minas Rachamim. And thirdly, because we are observing the second day Yom Tov which Chazal ordained for us, we are surrendering to Hashem's judgment and to Chazal's psak. That also gives us a Midas Rachamim. And so if we look at what is the common denominator between these three answers, it's submission to the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Shabbos. Shabbos, we defer ourselves to Hashem's creation. Hashem lets everything carry on without our input, without our work. We are regarding Hashem as the sovereign. So we are surrendering ourselves. And the second idea, I said, we are also surrendering ourselves by listening to Takonas Chazal. We are putting ourselves under the rule of Lo Yomush Sefer Torah. Sorry, Lo Sosu Min Adavashi Agilu L'Chayu Min Uskol. You're not departing from what Chazal tell you. And Chazal, similarly, in our third reason, who ordained the Yom Tov Sheni, we are surrendering ourselves to their authority, and that is our submission before HaKadosh Baruch. And what do we start saying tonight? HaMelech HaKadosh. We are surrendering ourselves to Hashem's sovereignty. We are completely debasing ourselves and putting ourselves in His hands, recognizing that He is Melech. And that is the running theme of our tefillahs for the next 10 days. And so we should be zocher to His midas rachamim. So today is Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we've got Yom HaDin coming. And you know, if you're preparing for your court case, or you're preparing for the exam, you're getting very worried and fidgety and nervous, and that's understandable. But what are we doing? Says the Shulchan Aruch, and Siman Tovkuf Pei Aleph Sif Dalad, Mechapsim Umistaprin Be'erev Rosh Hashanah. What do we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah? We wash our clothes, we get ready for Yom Tov, we have our haircuts, we start cooking, we make nice meals, we say good Yom Tov, we're wearing our best clothes. It's Yom Tov. We're not walking around all gloomy and worried. Okay, you do tone it down a bit. The halacha says you don't wear the big day meshi, your finest silk, which you keep for the Shana Shrigonim. Rosh Hashanah, we might tone it down a bit. But it's Yom Tov. We're in a good mood. How can that be? It's Yom HaDin. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Chafhei, Laharos Sh'onu Betuchim, to show how confident we are, B'chasto Yisborach, in Hashem's kindness, Sheyotzi l'tzedek mishpoteinu, that we're going to come out good out of it. If we do that proper teshuvah, you're getting a fantastic deal. If we do that teshuvah, Hashem is giving us a guarantee. With his midas rachamim, which he's exercising on Rosh Hashanah, changing from his midas din to his midas rachamim by hearing the sound of the shofar, we are getting this confidence that we can enter Yom Tov. We say good Yom Tov, and with a smile, and have nice food, and dress with our best clothes. So with such rachamim coming from our Kodesh Baruch Hu, nobody should enter Rosh Hashanah and say, well, there's no hope for me. I'm too far gone down the line. I'm past my sell-by date. It's never too late. The message which comes through with all this is that by recognizing Hashem as Melech, and by having this mitzvah of shofar, which has such an amazing power to change the midas rachamim, every single person has a chance to be able to get back on the right level. Hashem gives us such a good deal, we can't forego it. And just as the shofar has the power to attract Hashem's midas rachamim, so we should all be zocher to be in the future, whereby Yamahu, you talk up a shofar badal to hear the great shofar.